Hello, I'm Norman Swan and welcome to the Health Report. This program's a surprising and remarkable documentary from Aviva Ziegler, which might have you choking on your food. Actually, that's what it's about, choking. What used to be called the café coronary, where a piece of food gets caught in the windpipe and obstructs breathing. In fact, the program's about much more than that, because it's a story about how medical practices can become widely adopted despite an almost total lack of evidence, and how charisma, power and public opinion can override science. It's not the first example of this and it won't be the last, but it is one of the more dramatic, especially since the whistleblower is the doctor's son. We're talking about the Heimlich manoeuvre, which, as Aviva Ziegler discovered, is known to all of us.
Do you know what the Heimlich manoeuvre is?
You go behind the person and just under their ribs you give a thrust.
Grab him and press his chest.
Have you seen it being done somewhere?
Only from TV.
My father never did any serious research to back up the idea. He never did any serious research on anything.
It's the proper hospital procedure or the medical procedure to get something that's stuck out of the throat, holding someone from behind and lifting them up.
If people see that in their living rooms, it's something that they remember and easily adopt.
It's part of his egalomania, I'm afraid. It's interesting that there's now a lot of questions being raised.
Do you know what the Heimlich manoeuvre is?
Yeah, that's when someone's suffocating or choking on a piece of food and you wrap your arms around their abdomen and heave try and heave the food out.
And where did you find out about that?
The Simpsons.
Good Life Television presents The Real Me, an autobiography of the man whose inventions and innovations have saved more lives than any other living human being.
The Heimlich manoeuvre has saved more than 100,000 lives in this country alone.
Before the introduction of his now world-famous manoeuvre, Dr. Henry Heimlich was a virtually unknown chest surgeon from Cincinnati, Ohio. Today, he's probably the best-known medical doctor in the United States. His son, Peter Heimlich.
My father introduced it in an informal article in a medical journal. The article was called Pop Goes the Café Coronary, and everyone knows what it is because my father's a very gifted promoter.
It was actually picked up in the newspapers by a science writer and widely spread.
Dr. Henry Heimlich.
And within a week, we had the first life saved, and it is used throughout the world now and completely widely used in the United States.
Professor Ian Jacobs of the University of Western Australia is an expert on resuscitation.
Just imagine the scenario of someone sitting at a dinner table and all of a sudden starting to choke. And then this concept of, you know, given the abdominal thrust and out comes the obstruction, that becomes very, very powerful in terms of a way of managing a particular dire situation.
Dr. Charles Gildner is an anaesthetist who was a member of the United States Cardiac Care Committee when the Heimlich manoeuvre first appeared.
This was a big deal when the Heimlich manoeuvre came along and really broke ground. It was a breakthrough manoeuvre in my view.
Despite enthusiasm for the Heimlich manoeuvre, Henry Heimlich is not without his critics. One of them is James Orlowski, Chief of Pediatric Intensive Care at University Community Hospital in Tampa, Florida.
He's a very dynamic individual. He's charismatic, which is why he's been able to get as far as he has without ever using any scientific data.
Almost everyone you speak to about a choking treatment will say, use the Heimlich manoeuvre. And on any street, in any country, you'll probably get the same answer. But you might be shocked to learn that the Heimlich manoeuvre appears to have never been accepted practice in Australia. We are one of the only countries in the world where it's not officially on the books. This is a typical Australian first aid training course held by the St John Ambulance.
The learning outcomes for this session is we should be able to firstly identify a person who is choking. If somebody is gagging, something partially obstructed in the upper airway, we should ask the person to relax and encourage them to cough. Our research has been proven on a conscious casualty, a good cough is generally better than anything else. Now, if the good cough is not effective, we then have to hit that person. We give them what we call back slaps. He's leaning forward in the centre of the shoulder blades in an upwards direction. I would give him five nice solid slaps. If that is unsuccessful, we should place a hand in the center of the back on the sternum and we just press down sharply 5 chest thrusts. And if that is unsuccessful, we alternate between the two.
Oh, well, that is ridiculous. I'm so amazed to hear that. Back slaps were used for decades back going into the 1960s. And every single scientific study had shown that back slaps cause a choking object that is in the airway to go deeper and tighter into the airway and cause death. I'm astounded that the maneuver is not used for choking.
It has never been used in Australia.
Well, it's used in the United States, and it's used in China, and it's used all over the world. Yours is the first country I've heard of that has not used it.
As you will hear later, the assertion that back slaps are dangerous is probably only in Dr. Heimlich's mind. But anecdotally, it seems that the Heimlich manoeuvre can save lives. So if we're the only country not using it, who's right, them or us? Professor Ian Jacobs from the University of Western Australia is chair of the Australian Resuscitation Council and a member of the International Liaison Committee in Resuscitation.
There is actually very little or no evidence to support the Heimlich manoeuvre, and the literature is awash with reports of harm. And this includes things such as fractured sternums, ruptured livers, and other serious consequences of use of the Heimlich manoeuvre.
I'm not interested in arguing with your Australian doctors. They're very fine doctors there. But if they're not using the Heimlich manoeuvre for choking, then people are dying needlessly.
Apart from a few case reports, there is no other evidence to support what Henry Heimlich has advocated. There's no published data of any substantial nature, except for a few case reports and lots of TV programs, and there are substantial reports in literature of harm.
A question that often comes up in our courses is to why we don't do the Heimlich manoeuvre in Australia. So you're all aware of that, where they get that sort of a bear hug squeeze from behind? And, okay, the reason it's not taught is a simple fact that research conducted here in Australia and also overseas has proven that it can be dangerous because there's the risk of damaging internal organs such as the spleen, the liver, pancreas, etc. We follow the policy statements as laid down by the Australian Resuscitation Council. They're saying that if there was any clinical evidence to prove that it was effective, they'd put a policy on it and we would have it in our book. Any other questions?
But it turns out that we in Australia aren't alone in our scepticism about the Heimlich manoeuvre. In the United States, Dr. Heimlich does have his critics, and the most outspoken of all comes from a very surprising place, his very own son, Peter. I was fascinated to find out what could possibly have turned a son so much against his father.
Prior to 2002, I never even paid much attention to my father's medical career. Then information came to my attention, personal information about our family, in which I learned that a member of the family had been suffering a long-term medical condition which had been kept secret from me and from my wife, and we couldn't get straight answers from anyone in my family, including my father. They wouldn't tell us what was going on. It was all very secretive and gothic and extremely frustrating. I couldn't get it out of my mind, though. And I turned to the only place I could go, which was the public record. My father's a celebrity doctor. He's been the subject of hundreds of interviews. And I started pulling news articles from the library, from the internet, anywhere I could. And I started to see discrepancies, problems, things I knew were patently false. And before long, I realized we had uncovered something that we hadn't expected to find.
Using a pseudonym, Peter took his concerns to the medical fraternity and to the media. But eventually, frustrated by his inability to stimulate debate, he took his own course of action.
I created a website called medfraud.info, designed with the intention of bringing to public attention concerns about my father's dubious medical theories, which I and others believe are putting the public at risk.
You see, Dr. Heimlich didn't stop at choking. He's promoted the use of the Heimlich manoeuvre for cystic fibrosis, for asthma, and for drowning.
With the Heimlich manoeuvre for choking, thank goodness it worked. The Heimlich manoeuvre for drowning, the Heimlich manoeuvre for asthma, These are, every medical expert agrees, these are useless ideas that are not only a waste of time but can kill you. These are what I call poison ideas. My father put them out on the public. He didn't have any evidence to back them up. I think he just dreamed them up, and he used his media access and his fame from the Heimlich maneuver for choking to circulate the ideas.
We will return to the other uses of the Heimlich maneuver a little later and concentrate on choking for the moment. How is it possible for someone like Dr. Heimlich to get a medical procedure so widely accepted without a clear body of scientific research to back it up? For decades before the United States adopted the Heimlich maneuver, just as we do in Australia, backslaps were recommended as first treatment response for a choking victim. But the Americans changed their mind, and it seems that the force of Dr. Heimlich's personality played a major role in that decision.
In 1976, my father persuaded the first aid organizations to include the Heimlich maneuver as a secondary response. If someone was choking, the first aid organizations taught to do a series of back blows, and if that failed to work, to proceed to the Heimlich maneuver. The next 10 years were fascinating. My father went on a widely reported media tear, which he called back blows are death blows. As one reporter said to me, he wanted to win the choking rescue crown, and obviously he did. Whether it was the best medical idea, that's been a matter of debate for 30 years.
Despite the debate, there's clearly no doubt in Dr. Heimlich's mind that his approach is the right one.
I can give you papers from medical organizations that show how successful the Heimlich maneuver is and backslaps are not. As a matter of fact, if you pull up February 4th, New York Times, there's an article on the Heimlich maneuver and the life saving of 100,000 lives. The New York Times is a pretty fabulous newspaper.
But that's not scientific evidence, though, necessarily, is it?
She lists scientific evidence. There's acres of scientific evidence.
Spurred on by Dr. Heimlich's certainty, I went searching for scientific evidence. When I had difficulty finding any, I turned to medical experts both in Australia and the United States. But they couldn't help either. Dr. Heimlich's scientific evidence was eluding me.
I can give you the facts, but I can tell you that if a choking victim is dying, can't breathe, today only the Heimlich maneuver can save them.
But as it turns out, the Heimlich maneuver wasn't the only method to save a choking victim, nor necessarily the best. When the Heimlich maneuver came onto the scene, anaesthetist Dr. Charles Gildner, then a member of the United States Cardiac Care Committee, thought the idea of using an abdominal thrust to dislodge foreign material in a choking victim was a good one. However, he decided he would take the idea further, using 6 anaesthetized volunteers.
And it occurred to me that possibly applying that pressure on the chest would accomplish the same thing. And I wanted to make a comparative study as long as we had volunteers anesthetized. And so once I did that and discovered that the artificial cough created with the thrust on the chest produced greater movement of air, greater volume, and greater pressures than did the abdominal thrust, we were really quite surprised that we stumbled upon another technique that was actually more effective than the Heimlich maneuver. His first reaction when I told him what our results were and that the chest thrust was more effective than the abdominal thrust, he became irate, immediately filed grievances and charges of unethical medical practice against me with the American Medical Association, the American Heart, American Society of Anesthesia, my own Washington State Medical Societies, and both of the hospitals in which I practiced. And he made my life pretty miserable for a couple of years.
You can say Dr. Heimlich didn't play by the rules, which he didn't. Meanwhile, the guardians of the field, which are the first aid organizations and the expert doctors in the field, they allowed him to ride roughshod over their profession because he had the ear of the media.
Dr. Charles Gildner again.
It seems to me that practically everyone involved with the Heart Association and the Red Cross were dismayed by the force of the personality of Dr. Heimlich to insist on the use of his maneuver alone. He put on quite a publicity campaign for the Heimlich maneuver, and his advertising blitz was so massive, and he was so abusive of anybody at the Red Cross or Heart Association who wanted to be reasonable about this, that I think he actually frightened a number of people off. I would not be surprised to learn that he threatened lawsuits, because he certainly did that with me. He tried to see to it that I was shut up.
Dr. Heimlich's approach managed to garner him support from some of the most influential people in the country, even the Surgeon General of the United States.
The U.S. Surgeon General, C. Everett Koop, took the unusual step of issuing a public health statement in which he urged the American Heart Association and the Red Cross to teach no other methods except the Heimlich maneuver. He said that back blows and chest thrusts were not only dangerous but potentially lethal, and that the first aid organization should teach the Heimlich maneuver and nothing but the Heimlich maneuver.
The Surgeon General of the United States, in that declaration he made, he said, never slap a choking victim's back. It will drive the object deeper into the throat.
With all due respect, Dr. Heimlich, why would he be considered the authority for scientific evidence?
Well, first of all, he describes in the article where he gets his information. So he was a leader in things that affected the people, the health of the people throughout the country.
Shortly after that, the guidelines changed. And after 10 years of my father pressuring these organizations, they removed back blows from the guidelines. And from 1986 to 2006, the U.S. First organizations recommended doing the Heimlich maneuver and nothing but the Heimlich maneuver on choking adults.
Thank you very much. Everybody in the world now knows how to use the Heimlich maneuver to save someone who is choking. Then it was shown that the Heimlich maneuver saves drowning victims.
So if there was controversy around the Heimlich maneuver for choking and the potential harm it causes, the claim that it can be used for drowning really raised the hackles of resuscitation experts. Dr. Heimlich's assertion that by pressing the diaphragm upwards and compressing the lungs, thus expelling the water, is disputed by experts like Professor Ian Jacobs, chair of the Australian Resuscitation Council.
I know of no evidence that supports the use of the Heimlich manoeuvre in drowning. There is considerable evidence that when people drown, their lungs do not fill up with a large amount of water, and that having to provide a Heimlich manoeuvre to so-called clear the lungs of water is just wasting time and effort.
Like Professor Jacobs, Dr. James Orlowski from University Community Hospital in Tampa, Florida, is highly critical of the use of the Heimlich manoeuvre for drowning. His concerns began around 1981 when he read an article written by Dr. Heimlich proposing the use of his manoeuvre for drowning.
The problem was is the article essentially showed a basic lack of understanding and knowledge of basic human anatomy and physiology. The reasoning that he gave was totally fallacious. So I and a number of other people wrote articles to the journal explaining the problems with his explanation. In fact, one of the authors of a letter to the editor that accompanied mine went so far as to say he was shocked that the journal even published such a poor article in terms of its scientific basis and background. Subsequently, I got involved with the American Heart Association and the American Red Cross, and they had come out with statements supporting the Heimlich maneuver for choking, and even were considering perhaps recommending it for drowning. And I was shocked to find out that Dr. Heimlich had put a lot of political pressure on these committees, but had never actually presented any scientific data demonstrating that the Heimlich maneuver even worked in choking. So as far as I know, there's never been any worthwhile scientific study of the Heimlich maneuver for choking, drowning, or any other indication.
Following the suggestions of the American Heart Association and the American Red Cross, Dr. Orlowski published a study on a drowning incident that went wrong due to the use of the Heimlich maneuver.
Dr. Heimlich responded writing that there was a large body of anecdotal evidence that the Heimlich maneuver indeed worked, but the entire point to what we were trying to say was that there was no scientific data. And so based on that, I encouraged some of my colleagues to try to do scientific studies to look at the Heimlich maneuver, both for choking as well as for drowning. And we then began to see the true nature of Dr. Heimlich, because rather than encouraging scientific inquiry and study, what he did was he got the organization called PETA involved, the Persons for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and they began obstructing the laboratories that were trying to do the research on the Heimlich maneuver and essentially prevented them from ever studying it. And from what I understand, that's been Dr. Heimlich's modus operandi all along. Rather than letting people study it scientifically, he does everything he can to prevent them from ever even being able to do a scientific study of it. In response to the article that I wrote in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Dr. Heimlich, rather than replying in a letter to the editor, which is the way most scientists would do it, instead tried to attack me personally to try to actually get me fired from my institution.
Thank you very much. Everybody must learn that the way to save a drowning victim is to do the Heimlich maneuver first.
As I researched this story further, I still wondered what drove Peter Heimlich's need to expose his father this way.
I think it's a fascinating situation to have uncovered this. When I found out what he was doing with malaria therapy and the Heimlich maneuver for drowning and the Heimlich maneuver to cure asthma, I felt an ethical obligation to speak up, because the promotion of these ideas was putting people at risk.
Peter mentioned malaria therapy. What he is referring to is his father's latest project, a new treatment for people with HIV/AIDS.
My latest research is in the treatment of AIDS.
That's rather controversial as well, isn't it?
Always, of course.
Dr. James Orlowski.
Dr. Heimlich, for the last maybe 7 to 10 years now, has claimed that he has the cure for AIDS. And the cure for AIDS is injecting individuals with the malaria parasite and then supposedly using the body's response in terms of high fever. He claims that that will kill the virus. Every knowledgeable researcher in this country and probably worldwide says that there's absolutely no scientific merit to what he's saying. But rather than going through the proper scientific channels and submitting his idea to National Institute of Health or some other research bodies, Dr. Heimlich went to third world countries like China and Africa and got individuals there to allow him to do these type of unethical studies. And of course, no one's seen any results from those studies, even though they've been going on now for probably a decade.
My father has a famous name. He's a household word. And people instinctively trust him. The U.S. media doesn't seem willing to ask him the tough questions and ask questions of the corporation that sponsors the Heimlich Institute, which is called Deaconess Associations in Cincinnati. It's a $250 million a year health services corporation that owns a hospital, a number of medical corporations around the United States, and they own the Heimlich Institute. So they are directly responsible for all of the conduct that has been going on, presumably including the malaria experiments.
It's still very hard to understand the underlying drive to do this.
There's no simple answer to that question. The only thing that complicates it, I think, perhaps in your mind, is that I'm the guy's son. I tried to bring the information to the medical authorities. It's their job to do it. If they weren't going to do it, I decided I would.
Dr. Heimlich, when I went onto the net and pulled up your name, there was an amazing amount of material.
Yeah.
From all sorts of people, all sorts of points of view.
Yeah.
There was stuff by your son as well.
Yeah. That's a family matter.
There are lots and lots of stories.
We don't really talk about this. It's a family matter.
That must be rather hurtful then.
It is. We do love him.
Do you have any idea why he's doing this?
I do know, but it's not, again, that's a family matter.
I think people who come from secretive families will understand this implicitly, that when things are hidden from them, it becomes very frustrating. This project for me was an opportunity to shed light on parts of my own life which were kept secret from me.
What has it done to your relationship with the family?
Well, when I found out about the medical problem, I terminated my relationship with my father. The rest of my family, I mean, they don't communicate with me anymore. I think it's weird. If I had a relative who got involved in a project like this, I think I'd call him up and say, hey, what's going on?
Even though his family aren't interested in Peter's theories, perhaps the attention he has drawn to his father's medical practices is beginning to have an effect.
The American Heart Association decided to review their choking rescue guidelines, which state that chest thrusts, back blows, and abdominal thrusts, aka the Heimlich maneuver, all appear to be effective means of choking rescue, and that a combination of those methods may be more effective. What was noteworthy about those guidelines, besides bringing back the idea that chest thrusts and back blows were effective, is that they stopped calling the treatment the Heimlich maneuver.
I did look up the American Heart Association guidelines, and there's no mention now of the Heimlich maneuver per se. They talk about abdominal thrusts.
Yeah, that's typical of some organizations, but the New York Times talks of the Heimlich maneuver. If they want to talk of the abdominal thrust, what are they talking about? They're using that name instead of Heimlich maneuver.
They believe that it's more descriptive.
I wouldn't argue with the Heart Association if they want to use that name. You know, there are jealousies and things like that.
And for the treatment of children who are choking, they went even further and decided to completely drop the Heimlich manoeuvre, particularly for children under one, because of the reports of harm.
Resuscitation over the last 10 years plus has had a substantial move to evidence-based medicine, that is, obtaining the evidence, reviewing the evidence, producing the guideline, and then evaluating the guideline. But my understanding is that guideline development in the American Heart Association was a small group of individuals who would determine the guidelines. It wasn't a consensus approach, which is where we are now, particularly the Australian Resuscitation Council, and it certainly wasn't a substantial evidence-based approach. It was more eminence-based medicine or vehemence-based medicine.
In the past, Australia may have been alone in not taking up the Heimlich manoeuvre, but there are signs that the rest of the world is beginning to listen. Australian expertise is starting to affect change.
We can influence the International Committee from our science and our evaluation of the evidence quite substantially, and have done so. The introduction of the back blows and chest thrusts to the international guidelines was because of our position with the Heimlich manoeuvre.
You know, the medical profession can be very funny.
What do you mean?
Many things in the medical profession have been opposed by various doctors for one reason or another, and then turned out to be very successful.
I remember a comedy album from the 60s called Everything You Know Is Wrong, and that was my initial reaction. After you get over that initial shock, it becomes, well, how did this happen?
Do you have any concept of what is driving him?
Perhaps the success of the Heimlich maneuver triggered that need for attention and praise or what have you. What the source of it is, I have not a clue.
Ladies and gentlemen, the real Henry Heimlich.
I did see in one of the references that you were being asked to run for president.
That was correct, yes. A group approached me and I gave it thought, and I realized it wasn't practical. I almost did it in order to get views across that I believe in. Not that I could become president. I've had wonderful opportunities, which I appreciate.
I have a lot of compassion for my father. I think he is someone who lost his way a long time ago, and none of the people around him wanted to address the problems he had. I believe that if you love someone, you don't allow them to hurt other people or to hurt themselves. And that describes my feeling about my father, who, believe it or not, I care for very much.
Peter Heimlich. And that special feature for the Health Report was made by Aviva Ziegler. I'm Norman Swan, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National. On air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.